It began when Abraham Lincoln declared that in gratitude for the Union Army's victory at Gettysburg, the fourth Thursday in November would henceforth be a national day of Thanksgiving. We would come to add the familiar stories and imagery of pilgrims and Native Americans, the tradition of a harvest feast, but the celebration's purpose from the start was in its name. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we explore the purpose of Thanksgiving, not the holiday so much as the act. Turns out gratitude is good for you. We'll hear why being thankful and expressing it makes even our own lives better. And then we'll give you a chance to do it. Who in your life do you need to thank? You can post that on KCUR's Facebook page even now, or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Be thankful with us. After the news. In my family growing up, and maybe in yours too, we had a tradition as we sat around the Thanksgiving table. There, with the aromas of turkey and stuffing and gravy wafting up before we could touch any of the food, we had to answer a question. What are you thankful for? I recall some pretty perfunctory answers we gave in that particular setting, but after all these years and in all the different places this program is airing or streaming this day, it turns out it's still a good question to ask. Good morning. Welcome to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, and on this day before the holiday of Thanksgiving, we hold our own exploration of giving thanks, and we need your help. Who have you needed to thank in your life but not had the chance or taken the time? Maybe something that happened this week. Maybe someone who was part of your life decades ago. What are you thankful for? It's not too early to call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We're also taking your comments on KCUR's Facebook page. Joining us to help us understand why being thankful matters is Stephen Ilardi. He's a clinical psychology professor at the University of Kansas, and he joins us from the studios there in Lawrence at Kansas Public Radio. Dr. Ilardi, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me.
We're really glad you're here. Also joining us here in our studio is Lewis Duguid. He is, of course, an editorial writer and columnist for the Kansas City Star. Welcome to you, Lewis.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Brian.
And we, of course, want to invite our listeners once again to join us, 816-235-2888. Lewis has brought with him some letters to the editor expressing gratitude, but we want to start with you, Professor Ilardi. What is gratitude anyway? Why are we as human beings thankful or not?
Well, gratitude is a basic emotion, and it turns out to be one of the most powerful emotions in reorienting our thinking away from the present moment in a comparison with what we think we don't have. It orients us to what we do have, and that can often induce a very powerful shift in our present mood state.
Which is a very clinical way of saying it makes us feel better.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brian.
Sure, just checking.
It makes us, it does. In fact, you know, as we study the science of gratitude, one of the things that really jumps out from all of the research is giving thanks is one of the very few things that's ever been discovered that can actually induce a shift permanently, long-term, in our sense of happiness. There are very few things, it turns out. Winning the lottery can't do it. And that's a pretty famous finding that probably many listeners have heard about. If you look at people who've won the lottery and you look at their happiness level, the day after they're much happier. A week later, they're much happier on average. A month later, a bit more happy. 6 months later, they have returned basically to their baseline. In other words, we all seem to have a happiness set point. For most people, it's a little bit above neutral mood. And it's very difficult in the long term to recalibrate that set point for people. Cultivating a habit of giving thanks, of gratitude, is one of the very few things that's been scientifically shown to increase our level of happiness.
And why do you think that is? I mean, either scientifically or emotionally, why is it that cultivating thankfulness would have that kind of impact on our level of happiness?
Well, there's something kind of curious about happiness and the way the brain calibrates it for us. It turns out that happiness is not a very good indicator of sort of objectively how well we're doing. So in other words, it turns out, and everybody knows this, that the people that are the most successful, the most wealthy, the most famous, the most good-looking, on average, they're no happier than anybody else. So what does the brain do when it tries to give us a sense of happiness? It essentially looks at how are things right now and how do they compare to how things were yesterday or a few days ago or a week ago. In other words, our level of happiness is more of a barometer of how things have been changing lately. If we feel like things have gotten worse lately, then happiness declines. If we feel like things have gotten better, happiness goes up temporarily. When we cultivate a habit of gratitude, of thankfulness, all of a sudden we get a completely new framework, a completely new perspective, and we're not thinking about what is my situation compared to yesterday or a week ago, but we step outside of our situation, and it gives us a much more healthy perspective. So, for example, when I was 13, I had a really terrible ear infection, and I lost about half of the hearing in my left ear. And, you know, that's become the new normal for me. So day to day, I don't think about it very much. But if I think about how grateful I am, not for the fact that, you know, I had this ordeal of losing hearing, but the fact that I can hear at all, and then what my life would be like if I lost that ability, if I could no longer hear the beauty of my daughter's voice, if I could no longer hear my favorite music, all of a sudden, I've got a completely new benchmark, a completely new baseline, and my happiness level goes up rather profoundly.
Hmm. Lewis Duguid at the Star, people have been writing in to have their letters printed on this day, on Thanksgiving Day, about what they're thankful for. How long has that been going on?
We just, over the last several years, asked people for Thanksgiving to write in to the newspaper to express in their own words what they're thankful for on this wonderful day in which the nation celebrates folks being thankful. And we appealed to people at the beginning of the month, and slowly the letters have come in to fill this page. There won't be an editorial, so people who take issue with the Star's editorials, they can stand down and just be happy and really enjoy the gratitude that our readers have expressed in their own letters, in their own words.
Well, can you share with us at least one example here to get the ball rolling? What is someone thankful for tomorrow?
The letters will include poetry by some of our readers. That's the way that they've chosen to express their happiness. But they also include things about love, things about mom, things about their pets. And I think that this one about pets, because our area is filled with people who love their cats and their dogs and various other animals, that this one really kind of brings it home. But again, all of the letters are really wonderful, profound, and we hope that the people enjoy them. This one is headlined, "Thanks, Furry Friends." I still remember my first pet, Butch, a little red terrier. My folks decided one day that I was old enough to have a pet. I was about 5 or 6 years old. We went to a pet shop in Kansas City and spotted Butch, who was sound asleep while the rest of the litter jumped on him, biting his ears and yanking his tail. We felt so sorry for him until he woke up and proceeded to put his brothers and sisters in their places one by one. Right then, Mom, Dad, and I decided that this mighty little creature should become part of our family. Butch was the only pet that our family ever bought at a pet shop. In 1966, Butch went for $12. Since then, every pet our family has had has been a homeless cat or dog that we adopted. Animals ask so little and give so much. If it is true that we will reunite with our furry friends when we die, I will have quite a menagerie to greet me when that time comes. Hmm. And again, it's just a joyful memory filled with wonderful writing.
Yeah.
And that really paints a picture of what an individual went through as a kid, fast forward to now, and how people can relate to it.
You work in the public arena. You're always about the things that you're willing to say publicly and other people are willing to say publicly. I wonder, Lewis, why do you think people would take the opportunity to write these very public thank yous, sometimes even saying thank you to people they haven't said it to privately?
Well, just to put it in perspective, what I try to do when I field the letters to the editor is to make sure that every page includes some sort of happy moment that people share. And folks look for it, and they write in and they share their own views because they know that their own personal stories resonate with other individuals who may have had the same thing happen, or they try to do something nice for other people. And happiness is not only about gratitude and expressing the gratitude, but also about doing good things to other people. We want to try to let folks know that this is a norm. Mm-hmm. And that norm is part of what we value in our community. And the newspaper is supposed to share with people the values that folks have in our community.
Well, if public expressions of thanksgiving are the norm for you, we want to hear from you. 816-235-2888. What are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving? Who do you need to thank? Maybe someone you haven't had a chance to thank in a while or ever. 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. That's what Liz did. She wrote, "I'm thankful for my boss. Management didn't want to hire me because I didn't have any experience. He gave me a chance to prove what I can do. Now I'm a valuable member of the team. I love my job and my coworkers. He took a leap, and I appreciate the opportunity he gave me. No more jobs for me after this." That's Liz expressing her thanks for her boss. Tell us who you're thankful for or who you need to thank. 816-235-2888. We also asked some of our folks here at the station what they are thankful for and who they need to thank this holiday season. One of those people is the producer and host of KC Currents, Sylvia Maria Gross. Let's listen who she is thankful for this holiday.
I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. While I'm here at KCUR, my 16-month-old daughter goes to a nearby daycare. And I don't know if I've ever really properly thanked the amazing women that spend time with her and take care of her. They give her so much attention and guidance and discipline, give her a lot of outdoors time, teach her how to eat and sleep, read books, and organize a lot of fun activities. They do so much, and she's grown so much since she's been there with them. I really want to thank Miss Laurie, Miss Courtney, Miss Andrea, Miss Diane, and Miss Linda for all the work that they're doing with my little girl when I can't be with her.
That's KCUR's Sylvia Maria Gross thanking those who care for her newborn child in daycare. If you have questions for our guests, Lewis Duguid or Steve Ilardi, or if you have words of thanks that you want to share, call us at 816-235-2888. Dr. Steve Ilardi of KU, you have worked with people, taught people about gratitude and about its connection with happiness. You mentioned earlier that people who have a lot of stuff are not necessarily more thankful. Does that suggest that to be more grateful, people maybe sometimes need to have less stuff?
That's a great question. I think the answer is absolutely. As a culture, what's happened is that we really have shifted a focus somewhat away from the idea of being connected to others and that our wealth comes from the wealth of social connections. We look a lot more to things as somehow ultimately filling our sense of meaning and purpose. And it turns out that those things really don't make us any happier. They make us more conscious of what we don't yet have, more envious of those who have things that we think that we need. One of the most robust findings in all of psychology over the past few decades is that human beings are an intensely social species. We are designed to be connected to others and to spend most of our days in getting face time with the people who matter to us the most. And it turns out that people who do that, people who live as if their relationships are more important than their things, those people on average are much, much happier. And so one of the most powerful things about gratitude is, as I was listening to your person that wrote in and to the example that you just had on the air, gratitude typically draws us closer to others. I mean, if you think about the things that people are most likely to give thanks for, it's something about a connection to another person. And it turns out that actually the act of letting people know, especially in person, letting them know if we've never properly thanked them. Marty Seligman, who is one of the leading researchers of happiness in the world, he did a famous study where he randomly assigned people to one of six different so-called happiness interventions. And one of the interventions was a gratitude visit where people actually got to write out a letter to somebody they'd never properly thanked, visit them in person, read it to them out of the blue. And that intervention of all the six was by far the most significant in elevating people's happiness. And it didn't just last for a day. Even when those people were visited a month later, both the letter writer and the recipient were considerably happier.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM and streaming live at kcur.org. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking today about gratitude and about opportunities we need or should have taken to express gratitude. Joining me are Steve Ilardi from KU, professor of clinical psychology, and also Lewis Duguid, who is a writer and editorial writer and a columnist for the Kansas City Star. Lewis, you have been sharing with us some of the letters to the editor that are running as part of Thanksgiving Day in the Star. How about sharing another one with us?
Sure. Before I do that, though, I want to just make sure that people understand that it's not just the individual expressing thanks, but that individual's thanks and letters also ignite for other people who might read it or hear it, their own memories. When Sylvia's began to talk about her thanks for the daycare, it reminded me of my own children who are 30 and 27 when they were in daycare, and the fact that in daycare and preschool, the women who work there go by Miss Pam or Miss Sylvia or something of that nature. And they're all kind and wonderful people. And it just makes you smile to remember that moment that was so instructional in the development of your own children. And I think that's what occurs when people share these wonderful stories, is that it ignites for everyone else that happiness all over again. To go on with the letter here, it's headlined Family Love. On this Thanksgiving, I want my voice to be heard. Thank you for your love. I'm so lucky to have this great, big, wonderful family. We all hold each other up in hard times and celebrate together in the good times. We appreciate the variety of gifts this family brings to the world. Thank God we all aren't clones. How boring. Mm. Some of you don't even realize what you have given to the world. We all have more to offer and have a future of making the world a better place. We are so fortunate to have been born into our world of peace and freedom. We have a loving family that cares about us. Let's focus on our blessings. Let others know they have worth and are recognized. I am recognizing you right now. And again, it's about a person knowing that she has an outlet, that someone's going to listen, and happiness is about being heard.
I'm struck by that writer and many others who have written in mentioning family as being something they're thankful for, especially this time of year. Our producer, Matthew Long Middleton, headed out over the weekend to the Country Club Plaza and to the River Market, and he talked with some folks there about what they were thankful for, and that came up a lot there as well. Let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Matthew Long Middleton, and I'm the producer of Central Standard. And the person I need to thank, I never really got to. Two years ago, I was bicycling across the United States, and part of my trip took me through the American Southwest. And I had never really understood people's romanticism with the American Southwest. And in particular, my professor from college, who was my American Studies advisor, which was my major, Professor Kevin Britz. He was this guy who would wear American Southwest-themed shirts like all the time. You know, they were Adobe-colored and had Native American symbols and paintings on them. And he would wear these like all the time. He did an entire class based on Westerns and how we use those as an example to like invent and reinvent ourselves as a nation. It's the story we tell ourselves to legitimize and make understanding of who we are. And for the American Studies graduating seniors, he took us to this abandoned theme park that was had plants growing everywhere. It was very spooky but beautiful and kind of like tragic. And he just had this kind of curiosity and wonder all the time. And it wasn't until I had gone through the American Southwest that I really understood that there's like this kind of magical beauty about that place.
That was Matthew Long Middleton of KCUR. Obviously, he wasn't talking about family, but he was sharing someone important to him. And obviously, people who are important to us sometimes even have the role of family or occupy family-like places in our lives. Steve Ilardi, do you find that people have a hard time expressing their thankfulness directly to other people?
It can be really intimidating, I think, for a lot of us. We feel self-conscious. We feel embarrassed. We often focus really, I think, more on our own discomfort. And I think, for many of my patients, at least clinically, what I found is shifting the focus more on to the other person, to what it will mean to this individual to hear from us, even if it feels a little awkward, a little uncomfortable. It is just such a profound experience to be connected to another human being, to let them hear how much they've meant to us. And I think for many of us, it is such a healthy discipline to cultivate, giving thanks every time that thanks is really due, and to do it in a way that's not just perfunctory, that's really meaningful, where we sit down with the person, look them in the eye, and say, I'm so grateful for what you have meant to me, for what you've done.
Matthew, who we just heard from himself with what he was thankful for, also spoke with some other folks down at the plaza over the weekend. Here's some of what they shared.
Hi, my name is Blair Werp, and I'm thankful for having my family all around the table.
Hi, I'm Brooke Werp, and I'm thankful for the food.
Hi, I'm Evelyn Rodriguez, and I'm thankful for music.
And is there anybody you guys have been meaning to thank, a friend, a family member specifically, who maybe you just haven't told exactly, thank you for doing this?
I would probably thank my brother, because he taught me everything I know about cameras and going into broadcast. It's really helpful, and I just want to thank him.
Have you ever thanked him for that before?
No.
Why not?
It just hasn't really come up for me to say thank you. I never thought about it, and then thinking about what I'm thankful for, it's probably my brother.
I'd probably have to say my grandfather. He's been my only father figure in my life, so I never actually physically told him, hey, thank you for being there for me.
Is there anything specifically he did for you that stands out?
Just supporting me and my mother, I have a single mother, so he's always been there for us to help us whenever we needed it, and just, he's such a wise man. He's so much advice. Anything he says, you have to listen to him.
Nicole Ratliff, and I'm with my daughters Ava and Esther Ratliff. Oh. I should really thank my husband, because I think sometimes we just get busy with two little ones and life, and sometimes we just don't take enough opportunity to thank those closest to us. Mm. Happy Thanksgiving.
That was Nicole Ratliff, and earlier we heard Blair Werp, Brooke Werp, and Evelyn Rodriguez sharing some of what they're thankful for, family and spouses. The number to call if you want to share what you're thankful for or who you need to thank is 816-235-2888-235-2888. Stuart wrote to us on KCUR's Facebook page, Stuart said, I'm sorry, I lost what Stuart said. It's right here. My grandfather, Ben, who passed away in 1996, is someone I need to thank for all that he did to help me, and I was unable to thank him enough. He passed away before I could express my feelings to him, as he was more my father than my actual father ever was or could be. Some similar comments of a slightly different vein to from a couple of actually friends of mine posting on my Facebook page, a friend Marcy, who wrote, "My birth mother is someone I want to thank. She wouldn't meet me, so I've never been able to thank her for giving me life and for loving me enough to give me up." And another friend, Teddy, she wrote, "The birth mother of my child. I will most likely never meet her, but am so very grateful for her for the gift of my son."
Pretty impressive. I think that one of the things that stands out most about Kansas City is it's a big, small town. And as a big, small town, people have many of the small town sensibilities. And there is a desire among folks to share their thanks with others. Whether they might have some reticence to do so initially, they usually come around, or they see someone else who's done it and it's yielded some positive responses, and then they go ahead and do it too. This show will likely cause a lot of people to talk about thanks and then to share their thanks with others.
Steve Ilardi, I'm curious, how often do you run across folks who express regret that they couldn't thank people they wanted to, or maybe, as in the case of Marcy and Teddy, the birth mothers, in one case, Marcy's own birth mother, in another case, the birth mother of her adopted children, they just don't have access to the person to say thank you. How complicating is that?
It's a very common reaction when we find out that we've lost someone who's dear to us. We start running through our mind's eye all the things that maybe feel incomplete or that we never had a chance to do. And it's so incredibly common that people react to that loss with a sense of, oh my gosh, there were so many things that I wanted to say to them in thanks that I'll never have that chance. And it was very striking just listening to some of the interviews that you played, where some of the respondents were saying, gosh, I'm really thankful to this person, but I've just never thought about it. I've never thought about actually taking that step of letting them know. One of the things that's really interesting for me as a professor at KU is I interact with literally hundreds and hundreds of undergrads every year. I teach about 600 students a year. And it happens from time to time that a student will come by my office, or more commonly they'll write me an email to say thanks for something they learned, or maybe something that happened during office hours. And it is shocking to me how often they'll preface it with an apology. Mm-hmm. They're feeling embarrassed about their own gratitude, which, and I always tell them, thank you so much for letting me know. You have no idea how much this means, that, we go about our jobs and we're not really sure. Is it making a difference? Is this touching somebody else's life in a way that really matters? And when somebody stops and takes the time to give thanks for what we've done, I think we can all attest from our own experience. That's worth its weight in gold. It's incredibly powerful.
Let's take a call before we take our break. 816-235-2888 is the number to call, and that's where Sonia of Kansas City, Missouri called us. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm originally from Vancouver, Canada, and I just learned on Monday that my mother took herself to the hospital Sunday afternoon, and she had suffered a mild heart attack and underwent surgery yesterday, and it was a long day waiting to hear back, and I want to give thanks to all the medical team and the surgeons for just doing their best job. They don't know, you never know who you're operating on or taking care of, and I just want to give thanks to the surgeons that I'll probably never meet. And I was able to speak with my mom this morning, and she's doing well, and I just have such gratitude for being able to put my faith in all the people that took care of her.
Well, thank you, Sonia, so much for calling in. We appreciate you calling. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. And we're going to continue this conversation about Thanksgiving, about expressing gratitude and the ways that that is important for our own lives and for the lives of others. Who do you still need to thank? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We'll also take your comments on Twitter. We're @KCURCST. Louis Duguid of the Kansas City Star, Steve Ilardi of KU Clinical Psychology Department. They'll be here to listen to your comments and answer your questions. Stay with us. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking today about gratitude. Who are you thankful for? Who do you need to thank? Give us a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Joining me are Dr. Steve Ilardi, a clinical psychology professor at the University of Kansas. He's joining us from Lawrence, as well as Louis Duguid. He's an editorial writer and columnist for the Kansas City Star. We were talking before the break about being thankful for family and other people who are important in our lives. Louis, how many of those who write into the Star with their words of thanksgiving are expressing gratitude for the people around them?
A bunch. There are folks who are thankful for mom. There are folks who are thankful for hospitals saving their children or doing the best that they could to try to save their family members. It runs the gamut. And somewhere in this stream of letters, which people will read tomorrow, will be a smile. That individuals, when they open up the paper, they can see that there is good news out there.
Yeah, share with us one that seems like good news you'd think people would want to hear.
Here's one that I think is pretty remarkable. Surviving a stroke is the headline. I'm a 59-year-old stroke survivor of 5 years. On October 18, 2008, I suffered a massive stroke and came within minutes of dying. I'm thankful the good Lord saw to spare my life. During those 5 years, I have been treated very graciously, even by strangers who open their doors to me, speak very kindly, and are patient. My friends and family have helped at practically every opportunity. My loving wife has loved and cared for me each and every day. The most precious gift has been meeting 5 of my grandchildren born during the time of this recovery.
That's pretty exciting. Let's talk to Bill in Lee's Summit. Bill, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you.
What are you thankful for today?
Well, after listening to Steve, the professor from KU, it reminded me of how grateful I am of the teachers I had. Growing up in St. Michael's over on the east side and Bishop Lewis High School. I only have fond memories of all those experiences, and I don't really have any bad stories. I'm just grateful, and I also feel guilty for not expressing my gratitude over the years. And I had very nice priests and sisters and lay teachers, and I believe I learned quite a great deal, and I wasn't intimidated, and I have a feeling that they also have shared, other people feel the same as I do, and they would like to say thanks. So if there's anyone that actually feels the same way I do, I hope I'm speaking for them also.
Bill, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. And let's take one more call from Abigail in Olathe. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention that Professor Ilardi was somebody I took a class from my 5th year at KU. And I wanted to thank him just because 5 years and a poli-sci major at KU, and his class was really one of the only ones that I still remember stuff from. It's the most fun that I had in college, and learned a lot just about basic human psychology, and it's a really fabulous class, and I wanted to thank him for that. One of the only textbooks I ever actually read, to tell the truth. So.
Well...
Thank you for that. Thank you for being fun and, you know, making it super interesting and memorable. And I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way, even if they never get a chance to let you know that.
Abigail, thanks for calling. And
Steve
Ilardi, there you go.
That's you just made not only my day, but my week. And I really appreciate your taking the time to call in.
Well, there you go. See, you've got people thinking about who they're thankful for, and they're thankful for you, Steve. You know, our previous caller mentioned guilt about not saying thank you enough. How do you counsel folks who are feeling guilt about not being grateful?
Well, I encourage them to think about really the purpose and function of guilt, because it can be incredibly healthy and instructive. It gives us motivation to make things right. And when guilt is healthy, it gives us the motivation and the energy to do something, to set the record straight. And so, you know, even as we're talking today, I'm thinking about somebody in my life that I haven't properly thanked. And there's a little twinge of guilt there. And I made a little note to myself before this Thanksgiving weekend is up, I'm going to set the record straight with them and let them know. And so, you know, guilt can be our friend if we don't let it consume us, but instead let it teach us.
You know, one of the things that a lot of folks have written in about are times when they have had struggles or when they've been through a turbulent period in their lives, that's what they feel like they need to be thankful for. So we had Sarah from Kansas City, Missouri, not writing about her own life, but as a former high school counselor, she says she volunteers at a domestic violence shelter, and she is grateful that the men in her life have been who they have been and that they are decent, loving men who have encouraged and supported her, and she only wishes every woman could say that. We had a post on Facebook from Crad and Barron said, "It's been a year of turmoil and change for us. Thank you to Christopher for always being willing to drop everything and come to the rescue. Thanks to Robin and family for support and for literally driving to the rescue of a pony so he could be adopted by Anna. Grateful for your kindness to animals." And finally, Crad and Barron say, "Thank you to both sides of our family for your depthless generosity. Hopefully we can pay it forward in the year to come." We also talked with someone over the weekend who expressed appreciation for those who surrounded her during hard times. Let's take a listen to Sandra's words.
Hi, I'm Sandra, and I'm most thankful for my family and that we're all healthy and together. You know, I just have a few really close friends, and they got me through a hard time, and they just listened when it, you know, and didn't have to necessarily give advice, but just let me be sad when I needed to be sad. But, you know, when that was over, it's just like, okay, come on, dust yourself off and keep on going. So I'm just thankful for friends. I'm thankful because my daughter, like, lives very far away. And I'm just happy to know that she's okay. You know, I'm thankful that I at least know that she's okay.
That was Sandra speaking with our producer over the weekend about what she's thankful for. If you are thankful and need to say that out loud, say it on the air, you can call us at 816-235-2888. Steve Ilardi, as you listen to these folks from different walks of life and different places in their lives expressing gratitude, what stands out to you? Why is this not something that people do more often?
I think we need to be reminded. I think most of us, and I'm in this group, I think most of us we're very much in the moment. We live our lives. We've got a lot on our plates. And cultivating a habit of gratitude is something that we often have to be very intentional about. And I think that's one of the reasons why the research on gratitude is showing such powerful results. In other words, okay, here's the simple intervention that's been shown to increase our happiness. Keep a gratitude journal. And it takes a couple minutes a day. It simply involves every single day having the discipline, the habit to write down three things that I'm grateful for, three things today. And what we've found, I don't think it's been mentioned yet, but I'm a clinical researcher, and my major area is clinical depression. And one of the biggest problems in clinical depression is a habit of dwelling on negative thoughts. Technically, we call it rumination. Now, it's something that happens to all of us from time to time, but once we get caught in that vortex of negative thinking, it can be very difficult to break out. What we've found with our clinical patients is when they're ruminating and then stop and ask, okay, but what am I thankful for right now? And it's sometimes when we're ruminating, it can take 20, 30 seconds. It can feel like an eternity before anything will percolate up into our consciousness that we're actually grateful for. Hmm. Once it's there, it powerfully puts the brakes on that negative thought process. So it's a very useful tool clinically with depression and with anxiety.
Lewis Dugan?
I think sometimes we do forget. I want to make two points. One is It's hard for people to just volunteer stuff that makes them feel good or gives them a sense of gratitude or doing things for others. It's when we're asked often that we just sort of open up the floodgates and all of this goodness flows out. I remember when I started working at the Kansas City Star in 1977, the city editor came over to me and said, a gruff guy, he said, well, you're the new guy, so you get to handle the United Way campaign. It always goes to the new guy. 21, 22 years old, but I've been involved with the United Way giving ever since. And that's it started with just the ask. And of course, giving to others is a way of really feeling good and sharing and having this sense of gratitude from just the and happiness from sharing with other people. The other thing is that and this is to alleviate folks who might be feeling guilty over not having done something that they should have done or said something that they should have said to someone to express thanks. Sometimes time runs out and you don't get a chance to go back and redo things because people who were instrumental in your life, who you loved and never got a chance to share that with, they die. And you have to kind of give yourself a moment to say thanks in the spiritual sense and share that thanks with other people in other different ways.
816-235-2888 is the number to call. Let's talk to Justice in Greenwood, Missouri. Justice, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you.
What are you thankful about today?
I am very thankful for the whole country of the United States. I am an immigrant, immigrated to this country in 1998. And all along, all the citizens of the United States have been very, very kind, welcoming, and nice to me. I would like to thank the whole country and the citizens of the United States for that.
Well, Justice, thank you for being grateful and for being here and being an American. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Helen in Lenexa. Welcome to Central Standard.
Well, thank you very much.
What are you thankful about?
What are you talking about? Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. What are you thankful about today?
Well, I've got three little points I'd like to make. The first is I am extremely thankful to the staff, doctors, and everyone who works at Sweet Life of Shawnee, where my husband has been an Alzheimer's patient for over 2 years. They take wonderful care of him, and I am very, very grateful for that. A second point is we've talked a lot about happiness this morning, but no one has mentioned joy. And in my belief, I think happiness is a short-term thing. It's right now. But joy can stay with you so much longer. So you might, you know, think about joy as opposed to happiness sometimes.
Helen, let me ask you, you're distinguishing happiness and joy for listeners for whom that distinction may not be so clear. What is the difference?
I teach a Sunday school class, and this comes up every so often. But happiness, you think of it as something that may last forever, but it really doesn't. You can be happy you've got a new car, but after a week, the car is old.
Hmm.
But the joy of maybe driving that car can last a much longer time.
I see. So a long-term happiness.
Yeah, joy is long-term happiness.
All right, Helen, you had one more point real quick.
Real quick, if you get in the habit of saying thank you to everybody, like the clerk at the grocery store or whatever store you're in or somebody holds a door open for you, if you're in the habit of saying thank you, it's much easier to those people that you sometimes have a little difficulty saying thank you to because it's becoming ingrained in you as a habit.
Thanks, Helen, for that advice. Appreciate your calling in today.
Okay, thank you.
You know, along with Helen's comment, we had an email from Brian. He wrote, I suffer from insomnia, but I found through some good advice that by having a gratitude list on hand and using it during bouts of sleeplessness, that I can most often overcome the insomnia. And he asks if you, Dr. Ilardi, have heard of that use before, keeping a journal, a gratitude list on hand.
Not only have I heard of it, but several of our patients have actually used exactly that technique. And I talked a little bit earlier about how giving thanks in the moment can actually combat that habit of rumination. And one of the most vulnerable windows of time for us to ruminate, for all of us, is in that moment when we're trying to fall asleep or we've awakened in the middle of the night and we're laying there. There's nothing to occupy our senses, our minds. And for so many individuals, that's a time when rumination tends to creep in. And many of my patients have found once they start keeping a gratitude journal and they have those examples on hand, that that is something they can use anytime, even when they're kind of a captive audience laying in bed or stuck in traffic. I think that that listener is right on the money with that comment.
We have an outpouring of thanks for you, Dr. Ilardi. A caller named Lauren says, actually an email from Lauren says, "You don't know me, but two of my best friends were your students. One of them is now her fiancé." She says, "She was bulimic when she met her fiancé, and since he was one of your students and a psych grad at KU, he took me to a couple of your classes. We read your book, and he just had the patience and understanding that in the past 3 years I've overcome this. And not only that, I have a life again and a wonderful one." And so she's thankful to you for the impact that you had on her, Steve.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm kind of speechless here on the air, which is not a good thing. But thank you so much for writing in. That means so much.
One of the joys of teaching is that you do hear from students. You do hear from people whose lives you have affected positively. And that's just a wonderful thing.
Let's take a call from Bill in Independence. Bill, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I'm very thankful for my son, who paid for a cruise to Alaska. When I questioned him as to why, he said, "Because you were a great father."
How nice. Bill, thanks for sharing that. That's a great story.
Thank you.
And let's talk to Sharon in Leawood. Sharon, welcome to Central Standard. Sharon, are you there?
Yep. Yes.
Go ahead. Tell us. Yeah, we actually had two callers named Sharon and Leawood, but you're the one I'm talking to. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure. I was just going to say that sometimes we forget our gratefulness and need little reminders. About 5 years ago, my daughter had brain surgery, and it went very well. And I felt this immense feeling of gratitude at the time that I can't even express, but her doctor gave me a little one of those rubber bracelets at the time, and I find myself years later sometimes taking her good health for granted, and I have that rubber bracelet on my dresser every morning kind of as a reminder to rekindle that feeling of gratitude every day and a reminder not to take good health for granted.
Sharon, that's a good reminder for all of us. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
816-235-2888 is the number that Sharon called. Before we wrap up, I want to share one more set of conversations that Matthew Long Middleton had over the weekend with folks down at the plaza expressing their gratitude for different things in their lives. Let's take a listen.
Turner, Dennis E. Turner, celebrating life as it is. That's it. No matter what it is. I'd like to thank my lovely wife right there for being with me for these many years, as rough as it was. All my grandchildren, for every minute, I thank them for being them, you know, and being right with me. I love them to death. That's it.
I'm Stefan. I'm thankful for this guy. He just got married in May, so pretty thankful for that, and DOMA being over and time changing.
My name's Kevin, and I guess the same thing he's thankful for, finding someone to spend my life with and being able to do it, so.
And, yeah, had a big ceremony here, but legally married in Iowa.
Is there anyone you need to thank, you know, you've wanted to thank, but you just never have? Thanks, Kevin.
Probably my parents. Like, I don't think I've thanked them enough for accepting us and helping us with the wedding and all that, everything.
I think I don't thank my friends enough. I mean, we hang out all the time, but I think we just forget to say how thankful we are to have them. I mean, they're the closest thing to family that we have. I mean, aside from our actual family, but see them more than family. So thankful for all my friends.
That was Stefan and Kevin. And before that, we heard from Dennis E. Turner, folks who are thankful. Many folks are thankful here in the Kansas City area. Louis Duguid, do you think we're a more grateful city than anywhere else?
I think Kansas City is unique. One of the things that stands out about the letters that come in is that people do share a gratitude for one another, for the relationships that they have with the individual, for their love and loved ones, but also for their faith, whatever that faith may be. This is a community that's really seated in the Bible Belt, and it shows.
Let's take one more call from Gloria in the Northland. Gloria, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello. I'm so thankful you're doing this program, and I'm thankful for a friend in Lawrence who suggested that we follow Melody Beatty's advice and do 40 days of gratitude. That's we journal in the morning what we're grateful for, and then on Saturdays we talk on the phone and share what we wrote that week. And it makes me very aware of what I'm grateful for, and I think it's cultivating great gratitude.
Appreciate that, Gloria. Thank you so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the time we have left, I guess I'm curious to ask our guests. We haven't put the question directly to them yet. In a sentence or two, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? Stephen Ilardi?
I'm incredibly thankful for my wife, who is my partner in life, my soulmate, and the most generous and patient person I've ever known, for my daughter, Abby, who is a joy every single day, for my friends, my colleagues, my parents.
All right.
Puppies. yeah, I could go on.
I'll stop you at the puppies, but I'm glad you're thankful. Louis Duguid?
I'm thankful for my parents, for my partner, Betty, for my children, being off the daddy payroll and on their own. Thankful for work and just people and letter writers.
And I will answer my own question. I don't get to do that very often. I am thankful for my partner, Troy, and for our mothers, both of our mothers, accepting of our relationship a decade ago at a time when that wasn't easy for everyone else in our families or in our lives. Thankful for Linda and for my mother, Nancy, and for the ways that they have cared for us. And we'll have to leave it there today. Thanksgiving is tomorrow, a wonderful day. We hope that you all will use that as an opportunity to show thanks. Thanks to my guests, Louis Duguid of the Kansas City Star and Steve Ilardi of KU Clinical Psychology Department. Thank you both for being with us.
It's been a joy.
Thank you so much.
You can find out more information on our guests and about all of our programs here at KCUR. Visit our website, kcur.org. You can visit the Central Standard page and get podcasts of our earlier shows. Tune in tomorrow for special programming here on KCUR. Stay tuned right now. Up to Date is up next with food and wine ideas for the holiday season. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with Ross Steinmetz and Sydney Llewellyn. We had help today from Danny Alexander and Michael Byers. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.